The recording is on, Alina, and thanks again for letting me record this. I really do appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Thank you for all your help.
Great. So how are you coming to the call today?
Encouraged. I think it's been a good week, and I've had some good successes. Not all have been successes, but I've been trying to reframe it so that I can learn. So it's been good. It's been a good learning week for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, you do sound a little lighter today than when we began our call last time.
Yeah, I feel lighter.
Oh, good. Well, yeah. What if anything, would you like to share about what's happened since our last call?
Yeah, so last call I was kind of weighed down with feeling stuck, you know, and it was good to kind of reconfirm or reassess what happened and how to move forward. So, and then keeping it, I put down kind of the strategy, so to speak, on a little post-it because I knew I was going to be traveling. And I took it with me, and I've been looking at this little post-it kind of all week to try to think, okay, where am I? What's going on? Am I where I want to be? Am I, you know, if things aren't progressing the way that I would like to, why is that? And so this little post-it has been kind of nice because it reminds me of the things that I agreed with myself. And then I've been able to assess as I'm going through the week or make a decision. Okay, I told myself I was going to, if I'm feeling stuck, I need to reframe and see what's going on. Is the thing that I'm doing worth, you know, the time, or do I need to switch gears and go back to the original plan? So having that little kind of checklist has helped me to kind of reassess as I go along, and kind of help me, you know, to kind of move forward and recognize also where I'm getting stuck, which was kind of enlightening.
Yeah. Well, what have you learned, or what insights have you had as you've used this little tool?
Yeah. So I've noticed when there's something out there that I'm a little scared of, in the sense that I'm not exactly sure how to go about it, I tend to want to push it off. I want to procrastinate. So I'll fill in with other things. You know, I'll kind of tell myself, oh, I should work on this because it needs to be done, and I'll just take care of that later. Oh, I'm not feeling inspired to work on that project. I'm just going to work on this instead. And then what I end up doing is kind of self-sabotage, because then I reduce the amount of time that I have available to work on that thing that I'm dreading, you know. And it's not, I don't think it's a conscious thing. It's almost like, oh, I just don't want to work on that. I'm going to work on this other thing. So, yeah. So then when I do get to work on the thing, because now I have to, then I'm under pressure, you know. And traditionally, I work really well under pressure. My best results ever, all the way from high school, college, first job, you know, throughout my entire career. When I was asked to do something under the gun, that's when I did things that shine, you know, produced results that were amazing and that kind of thing. So in the back of my head, that's kind of, I think that's there. That thought is there, that if I just wait until I feel inspired, then it'll be a lot better. But it can be counterproductive, because then I might not have enough time, and then I end up wearing myself out. Or having anxiety around it because I'm not sure I'm going to be able to finish in time. I always finish, and it's always good, but it's kind of that, you know, that additional stress that I shouldn't need, I don't need, or shouldn't have. So that was just one of the things that I figured out. I had to do this presentation for my boss, and I don't like doing presentations because I tend to be very wordy, and it takes me a few tries to get it right. And so he just wanted a first draft. And I kind of know he's really, really good with presentations. Like his presentations shine, you know. And so I struggled. And finally I just decided, you know, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to send him a draft, and I'm going to tell him I need your input, and we'll see what happens, you know, and tell him that it's not perfect and I have some facts that I need to check, and just tell him that, you know. Otherwise, it would have been Monday or Tuesday before I sent it to him, because I would have hemmed and hawed about it all weekend long. But, you know, I did it. On Tuesday night, Chris was traveling. Or Wednesday night, I just sat down. I cranked it out, did the best I could, and then sent it to him. And I said, please give me some feedback. Let me know if I'm going in the right direction. Tell me what doesn't look right. And then we reviewed it during our one-on-one on Thursday, and he had very few things. He even volunteered to give me some of the facts, because I'm not real close to some of the things he wanted me to share. He said, oh, I'll get to that, no problem. And so I was like, oh, yay. Yeah. So it was actually really good, you know, because I gained a little bit of time there. And I was encouraged by that, because it kind of proved that it doesn't have to be perfect, and I don't have to procrastinate, and I don't have to wait until I feel inspired. I just get it done, get a first draft, put it out there, see what happens, you know, and be open to feedback. So that was good. That was a good experience, I think.
Mm, wonderful. It does sound like a great week. I can understand why you're so encouraged. Lots of insights that you share there, and learning about yourself and what drives that procrastination sometimes and self-sabotage. So good work this week, Alina.
Yeah.
Well, given
I think it helped to have that little checklist in front of me, too.
Just a little tool like that. Well, given all that you've shared and all that you've learned this past week, where would you like to focus today?
So I think I want to explore that whole perfectionism thing. I think we touched on it in one of the previous sessions, but I think it would be nice to, because I think it's going to be a sticking point. I need to practice overcoming that fear, you know, when something is, when there's something in front of me that I'm not sure how to attack. I'm not sure where it comes from. You know, I don't know if it's because perfectionism or it's just because I'm afraid I'm going to fail, you know. But it'd be nice to understand that better and maybe, I don't know, either reframe it or come up with some kind of a plan so that when I'm faced with that situation, it's a little bit easier to recognize it, maybe. That's probably it. How to recognize it before it becomes an issue, you know?
Okay.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but
that makes a lot of sense. So then just this whole perfection idea and how to recognize it. You also said you're not sure if it's a fear, if it's perfectionism or fear, because you're not sure how to attack.
Yeah, and I think the reason I struggle with, you know, I want things to be right, but they're never going to be perfect. That's just reality. There's always going to be a little bit better, or something that can be improved a little bit. But then there's also that fear that is not good enough, you know, that I think maybe that's what drives the perfectionism is it good enough? Is it good enough? And I think with that experience with the presentation, I learned that putting out there that this is not perfect from the start, just so that, you know, being clear about the purpose. So the purpose of me sharing this with you is that you give me some feedback on what the direction I'm going in, as opposed to is this good, you know? Because I think in the past when I've shared presentations, not with this with my manager, but his manager, I ended up rewriting the whole thing. You know, he didn't like it at all. He ended up telling me do this, do that, change this, change that, and it didn't feel good, you know. Mm-hmm. The content was all there, and the content was good. It was just the way the information was presented was not good. So I think I have it in my head somehow that I'm not good at putting together presentations because of that.
Okay. Yeah. So you believe that. deep down that you're not good at that because of this past experience.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, if our call is successful today, you know, what would indicate that you've gotten what you wanted here?
I think I would have a better idea of what thought process I need to, well, I don't know. I think I would know how to recognize. I would know what to think about when I'm getting stuck with something to see if it's that kind of problem, you know?
Okay, that you would just know, you would recognize it if it was this perfection thing going on.
Right. Or is it something else? You know, be able to differentiate. Is it because I don't have enough information and that's a fact? Or is it because I'm leading towards this procrastination thing or this perfectionism thing?
Okay. All right. So then just being more clear about it and how to recognize it and know what it is.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then where should we begin to explore?
Maybe thinking about the kinds of things that trigger that kind of thought, you know, that, or like observing this week, what things I was delaying, you know, what things I wasn't getting done. So I got a planner, which I haven't done that in forever because I've just used my Outlook as my planner. And I actually started writing things down of what I wanted to get done that day. And looking at, okay, why I didn't get this done today, why? Some of it is because my list was way too long. So I started noticing that I tend to be kind of ambitious about what I want to get done during the day and don't put in time for unexpected, you know. And that's part of my frustration. So as I'm looking through the list of things that I'm pushing off from page to page, I'm seeing that it's the things that scare me, like, you know, the things I'm not quite sure how to cope out. You know, like this presentation got moved twice on the list. It got moved from day to day twice. And it was good that it made the list to start with because it had been, you know I need to make this presentation next Friday. And so I've known about this since I scheduled it. So, you know, I should have started working. I don't know. Maybe I should have started working on it a lot earlier. I do really well with off the cuff. You know, I can put something together really fast as long as it's a topic that I'm comfortable with and I can, you know, make it happen. But I would really like extra time. I would really like to allow myself extra time to make sure, you know, run it by my boss, get comfortable with it. Be more proactive about it so that when the time comes to present, I'm good, I'm solid. So like that presentation, and then I have a couple of other things that I've been moving from page to page that require more time and more thought. They're more about me, you know, like I need to review my goals because we lost a bunch of people in our team, and so now our responsibilities have shifted a little bit. And I want to make sure that my goals align to what, you know, what the new plan is, new structure is, before we get to mid-year and then, oh, my goodness, you know, I don't have everything in here that I'm supposed to have. So that's one thing that I've been kind of putting off because it's not due yet. It doesn't have a time frame, but it's supposed to be my compass. It's supposed to be what I use to drive my work. So I should be working on that, even if it's just working on it a little bit at a time.
Mm-hmm. All right. So a couple things that you're noticing that you pushed off, the presentation mm-hmm. and the goals.
Then the database that I'm supposed to be beefing up, I'm still struggling with that. I'm still not finding enough time to do it or making enough time to do it. it seems to be like those activities take a considerable amount of time. You know, it, in my head, it's, oh my gosh, that's like a 2-hour thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And I can't find a good solid 2-hour chunk anywhere to put it in. So I either do it at night or I do it on the weekend or something else has to go. And so then it gets pushed off.
You said earlier that you wanted to be proactive, and I'm curious about what does proactive look like for you?
I want to finish it with space to be able to review it. So I'm not up against the deadline, you know. Like the database. I had put myself a goal that by February 14th, I was going to have it all my items that I have pending in that database, or as many as I could possibly get in there. I think I've collected more that I need to put in there than what I've put in it in the actual database. So in my mind, I'm not making any progress. And so proactive would be, I would start chunking it out and putting a little bit into it every day, as opposed to trying to find a whole, you know, a big chunk of time when I could just work on it for a long period of time. I think. It would be being able to finish something with some time, some cushion in between, so that I can go back and look at it again, make sure it's okay before it's actually due.
And if you were able to accomplish that, for instance, with this database, by the goal that you set for yourself, what would that make possible for you?
I think it would, so it would make space, I think, for other things. I don't know if it's just, I feel like I'm not accomplishing when I'm not finishing the list. You know, when I have to move something forward, it feels like I didn't fulfill my commitment. Even though it's just to myself, I just feel like I failed, you know. If I were to be able to finish what I said I was going to set out to do during the day, I think I would feel like I'm making progress. Do I know that I can crank it out if I need to? Yes, I do. That's probably the bad thing, you know.
I just that it might be about something deeper here. What do you think?
Yeah, that's probably why I'm struggling, because I'm not exactly sure what's going on. You know, I think if I knew, I would have fixed it by now, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. And I'm not sure what I need to do to find out, if that makes any sense. Like, if I were clean for a day and I could just make it happen the way that I wanted to happen, I would make the list, I would execute to the list, and I would still have a little fudge time for unexpected things.
So being proactive would give you that space that you talked about a minute ago, that you'd have that space for other things.
Right. Things that come up unexpectedly. Somebody needs help. Somebody has a question. Can you take care of this for me? You know, being able to help someone.
Mm-hmm. And from our prior conversations, I know how important that is to you, helping others.
Mm-hmm. When somebody makes a comment like, I just can't find any space in your calendar for a conversation, that kind of bothers me, you know. Now, it could be perfectly logical that they just can't find a time that works for both of us, you know, because I do have open spots. But so it's not like I'm solidly, you know, I'm busy solid for 24/7. It's just maybe that they can't find a time that works for both of us. You know, that's reasonable. And maybe my thought process shouldn't be, oh my gosh, I'm so busy that I can't help people. It's more of, all right, well, let's find a time that works for both of us. I think it's just the way I think about things, you know. The work is getting done. I'm getting high marks on my performance review, so obviously I'm meeting the expectations or exceeding the expectations. So I'm beating myself up sometimes for things that, you know, I don't know why I'm doing that. I think it stops me from being more successful even, you know.
So where else does this show up in your life? Just beating yourself up.
In the things that I commit to, like, you know, like my outside of work stuff, like I'm part of the Homeowners Association board and we have this safety project that I've been trying to get off the ground for a year now. And it's been really hard with traveling because you actually have to have time here, you know, in town so I can go talk to the neighbors and show them what we're supposed to be doing and hand them the safety packets and all of that. Now come to find out recently, I was told that I could actually recruit volunteers to help me, which if I had known that a year ago, I would have done that already. But anyway, so that was kind of fun. It was encouraging. So I did recruit a couple people to help me that said, yeah, I have time. You know, they're like stay-at-home moms, and one lady's part-time retired and wants to meet more people in the neighborhood. So it's like, yeah, oh yeah, you know, that totally works. So I've been beating myself up because I haven't gotten this thing finished, you know, and I've been just, it's been way too slow. In my mind, it should have been done in a month and it's taken me a year, you know, that's just not right. So that's the kind of thing, you know, like I want to do a good job with this, to me, it's kind of an honor when people ask you to do things like that, you know, so you don't want to disappoint. Mm-hmm.
When you were speaking about that, about recruiting some folks to help you, I just heard energy in your voice again, and your pace picked up, and what do you think about that?
Huh. Maybe it's because it's something that I'm doing with other people as opposed to on my own. You know, you're onto something there. Yeah. So some of the little projects that I have for me, like one of my hobbies is scrapbooking, and I used to, when I was in the thickest of it or when I was really excited about it, I remember that I was hosting once a month friends of mine to come over and we would scrapbook together. And I was cranking out those scrapbooks. You know, they would leave, and then the next day I'd spend the whole day because I was inspired and I was excited. And we would be getting together the next month and exchanging ideas and materials. And it was just so much fun. I had a blast doing that. And it was a great hobby there for a long time. And then we moved. And then I took all my stuff with me to Brazil, but there was no one else that did it down there. So it kind of fell by the wayside. Until I found this other expat that was a scrapbooker too, and then we started scrapbooking together, and it picked up again. And, you know, it seems like when I'm around other people or if I can involve other people in things, I seem to be more motivated than when I have to do all this by myself.
Hmm. I could just hear that in your voice when you were talking again, just that you just, it sounds so happy. To me, what does it feel like to you when you talk about it like that?
Yeah, it makes me want to do it again. You know, it makes me excited about it. Mm. I think, you know, I never thought about it that way. I think all these other things that just I can't seem to get off the ground is because it's individual. Yeah, so like, for example, I can think of an example. So I set up a little craft room, and this house had a little, it was supposed to be like a gift wrapping room or something. The lady had set up this little room, and so that became my craft room. And it's beautifully set up. Everything has a place. I've got all these pretty little baskets. They're all labeled. It looks wonderful. I never go in there, ever.
Mm.
You know, I get inspired one Saturday, and I'll go in there for a couple hours and then come out because I'm just like, oh. And it gets lonely in there, you know? And even though I'm doing stuff, sometimes I did put a TV in there, so if I'll watch a movie or something, then it helps. But yeah. And maybe that's why, because I'm locked up in there. And sometimes I'll drag the stuff out just so I can be near Chris, you know, so there's another human nearby.
Yeah, for someone who needs people and wants to be with people so much, working from home, it's got to be challenging for you because you're there alone so much. Just want to check in. Is our conversation moving you toward what you wanted to achieve today?
Yeah, I'm getting all these ideas in my head. Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm just curious as to how this, the importance of doing things together might be related to this getting stuck in what you've identified as perfectionism or this fear, maybe when you don't know how to attack things. How might these things be related, if at all?
So when I work with you on topics, I make so much progress. It feels like because I'm saying things out loud and I'm bouncing things off of you and you're giving me feedback, it seems like I make progress, you know? And because I have wondered, how come I can't figure these things out on my own, you know? And it seems to be like because I'm able to bounce things off of you and I get feedback and I am able to say things out loud, I can work things out as I'm speaking, you know? And that helps me a lot. And I'm wondering if that's something that I just need to incorporate into how I do things every day. You know, if I've got this project I'm working on, I'm stuck, call one of my colleagues that's, you know, in the same area and, hey, can I bounce a couple of ideas off of you because I'm a little stuck on this? And see, you know, if maybe that gets me going and motivated. And the reason I think the presentation thing went well with the boss is because he gave me lots of feedback and he was enthusiastic and he gave me a couple of ideas and he volunteered to help me. And, you know, that was good. I felt good. You know, I felt like I was moving forward. So, yeah. So maybe on this database, since I have my colleague that was supposed to be my accountability person, maybe I should just schedule a couple of sessions to go through and put some items, you know, put some items on the list and work through them together and just to get me going, you know, get me fired up and going. And then she can do some too.
Great idea. So, it sounds like you've had a lot of insight here. If you were, you mentioned being queen for the day. If you were queen for the week, what will you do between now and our next call that will help you involve these other people so you can get that feedback and say things out loud?
Yeah, so I've got the benefit that I'm going to actually be in the Quad Cities next week. So I'll be in the middle and of people. I could take a look at the list of the to-do list and things that, you know, maybe aren't moving and find a couple of people that I could sit down with and just talk about some of these things and how to get them going, you know. And even maybe just set up some phone calls if they're not in the same city, just to see if I can get some of these things going. Because I think that would be great if I had like an hour maybe with one of my colleagues and said, okay, let's work on this thing that we've been wanting to get done for a long time and it's just not moving. Could you help me out? And then my boss is going to be with me most of the day on Friday. We have that presentation in the morning, and then the rest of the day he said that he had time to help me or work with me on whatever I wanted. So I was like, yay. So maybe we can do the goals. Maybe I can talk to him about goals and see if I can get some help on that. maybe just do some preparation work, you know, and then spend some time with him reviewing that and seeing so I can cross it off my list.
Mm.
Yeah, that's good.
Awesome. Just love that energy when you talk about engaging with other people.
Yeah. I really should find another job where I work with people.
Oh, that might be a topic for another day. And then,
yes.
So then how will you know, Queen for the Week, how will you know if you're getting stuck again? What are you going to be, it sounds like you've got a great plan here, but what, you were kind of wanting that, how to know if you're getting stuck, how to recognize that.
Mm-hmm. So maybe just that thought process of, should I, you know, okay, I recognize that I'm stuck. Would involving another person help the situation? Mm-hmm. And who could I involve to help the situation? If it's a, you know, a 5-minute phone call, a half an hour conference call, a 1-hour meeting, you know, mm-hmm. what is it going to take? And then go from there. Because it might be a 5-minute thing. You know, if I'm just not quite sure how to go about this, pick up the phone, call one of my, hey, are you available? 5 minutes? Da-da-da-da. Yep, okay, go. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. So just adding that question to your little tool.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Check in with a partner, a colleague, and see. Even maybe Chris, you know, hey, I'm stuck on this thing. Help me. Mm. Or one of my neighbors, you know, on the HOA thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
I like that. That's a good plan. Okay. I added it to my
anything?
List.
Yeah. Is there anything lingering now that we haven't talked about around what you wanted today?
No, I think I'm good. I think this helps me a lot. I think it's probably good to go back and investigate the whole people's work and people thing. That's in a future conversation, but I think this is what I needed for today.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any additional support? You mentioned a few of the people. Anything else that you might need in order to fulfill your role as Queen of the Week?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think one of the thoughts I had is maybe I haven't used my mentor as much as I wanted to, you know, because the whole thought about using someone just kind of doesn't line up, doesn't make me feel good. So, but if I could reframe that as, okay, reaching out to my mentor to help me, move towards a better place of understanding where I am and where I stand and, you know, I think I should rethink that, I think. Because that's a person, you know, that's another person, another resource that has offered to help that I'm not using very effectively. And I need to retake that, I think, because it just talking to you and going through this, light bulbs are going off about the importance of feedback from people, you know, the people that I respect, the people that I look up to, that helps me a lot. And I could even help them, you know, if there's something I can help them with, you know.
You're always about helping others. Always. I mean, it comes up so much in our calls. So it's a two-way street, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this mentor thing, is there anything else you need to do to reframe that? Or do you have what you need there?
I think I need to think about the best... I think they had sent us a bunch of questions of things, possible topics that we should consider when engaging with our mentors. And I think I need to go back and look at that and see if there's anything interesting there that we could do to what do I really want out of that relationship, you know? My initial intent was to learn about his area. That's why I wanted to talk to him. But, you know, is there, you know, being a Latino leader, you know, and with this perspective, you know, is there something else about that that maybe would help me with this whole job thing, you know, just to help me be better in my role, help me prepare for another role that I'm missing, that maybe he has some insights on.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a great place to start with him.
Yeah.
Not hearing a whole lot of energy around that topic, though.
Probably because I don't really know what to do about him. You know, I think it's a great – I recognize that he's a good resource, but I just don't know how to – how exactly to go about it, maybe. There's an amount of skepticism or maybe even disappointment because I'm not quite sure that I can find something else, you know. I think that's probably what's kind of keeping me, or that maybe that's why you hear the lack of energy. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Knowing how important relationships are to you, I'm curious about the state of that relationship.
The state of the relationship.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a relationship you have with him?
I struggle. I think it's maybe a cultural thing. The reason I picked him was because of that, because my boss is also Latin American. And I don't feel comfortable with how sometimes he approaches things, you know. It's a different leadership style, I guess, to what I'm comfortable with. I'm more comfortable with exchange of ideas. We're equals, but yet you have a higher position, you know. And it doesn't come between us. We can still exchange ideas, and I feel respect coming both ways, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I picked this mentor because he's kind of in the same situation where he's also a Latino leader that has that. And this is all because I've talked to people that have reported to him, okay, and I see that that's how he kind of operates the same way as my boss's boss, my director. And so I kind of want to learn about what's behind that and how can I overcome that, you know? Why does it bother me so much, number one? And then number two, how do I get around that? How do I make it still productive? Because I know I can't change the person, but I can change how I look at them and how I respond. So how do I still preserve my integrity and how do I still preserve my dignity while responding, you know, so I don't feel like I'm getting squashed every time. Because I'm sure that's not the intent. It's just the style, you know.
It sounds like then that you're not engaging with him because of how that diminishes you in some way.
Yeah. But it's in the back of my mind that he's the key. You know, I need to understand this. I need to get over this. I need to figure this out. But yet I'm avoiding him, you know, so that's not good either.
Would that be a good
I don't know why I picked him as a mentor. I should have picked somebody that I was comfortable with. I mean, he is over the area that I want to eventually be in, I think. And that's why, at least that's my reasoning for that. But, and I know him, you know, and all that. Not super close, but I've worked with him in projects before. But I don't know. Maybe that's not the best choice of a mentor.
Well, how much freedom do you have with that?
I could totally change. I could change to someone else. And we had talked about a 6-month commitment anyway. So it's going to be coming up pretty soon. I'm interested in that area, though. I don't want to let that go, but that doesn't mean that, you know, maybe I can just reframe it as, you know, could I still stay in touch and learn more about your area and what opportunities there might be and, you know, get some feedback as to how I could better prepare and then, you know, try a different mentor. I don't know.
So leverage the relationship, but not necessarily in a mentoring way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, where are we now? Would it be a good time to begin wrapping up?
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anything else? And I just want to say you have done some great work today, and we can certainly talk about this mentor situation in a future call if you'd like to. But I'm just excited about what you've accomplished today. But is there anything you'd like to acknowledge yourself for?
I appreciate the being able to say all this out loud because it's making more sense and light bulbs are going off. So I'm happy that we're able to work together through this and that I'm able to come up with some conclusions about it. So, yeah.
Oh, it's fun for
Thank
me
you.
To hear those light bulbs go off. Okay. Well, is there anything else that you'd like to say before I turn off the recording?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Hold on one second.
Mm-hmm.